Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Simone Riscala, and you are listening to the Endow Podcast, a conversation not just about the feminine genius in general, but about cultivating your particular feminine genius through the Catholic intellectual tradition and intentional community. Well, hello, Endow ladies. I'm here. I'm smiling super big. So if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, you're seeing my big, big smile. And if you're listening to this in the podcast, you just have to hear the smile through my voice because I'm here with, her nickname is Gina, but her full official name is Carmen Bristaniel. And last time I talked to Gina, is it okay if I call you Gina?
Please, if you call me Carmen, I'd be like, what's this?
Who is that? Yes. We talked on Instagram Live over a year ago with Endow, and now I'm thinking, well, that was silly because Instagram stories are deleted after 24 hours, so now we have this forever. But Gina, welcome to the Endow Podcast.
We're talking about, it's an excuse for us to do our favorite things, talk about God and all the ministry, and then talk to each other, so it's
exactly
great.
I wanted an excuse to catch up with my friends, so here we are. Okay, so this episode, let's try to focus because you and I could go off and talk about a million different things, but it is the month of St. Catherine of Siena for her feast day. And I want to talk to you about her because you are kind of my first introduction to St. Catherine of Siena about what? 12 years ago, something nuts.
More, because I was thinking, I was consecrated almost 12 years ago, and we were friends before that, so.
Okay, yeah, exactly, and we were drinking cinnamon coffee, and you were reading the dialogues, and you're like, this woman, it's a bit intense. you told me a few stories, like, well, if it's intense for you, I need to wait a long time. So I to start to wrap my mind around Catherine of Siena, and then I'd love to talk to you about your vocation to consecrated virginity, sacred print, and all this kind of stuff. So, Gina, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, like you said, my name is Carmen Bristaniel. Nobody calls me Carmen. Everybody calls me Gina. And I'm originally from Venezuela, but I've been living like in the U.S. and Venezuela here and there. As you said, in 2009, I was consecrated to the Order of Virgins, which is out of control. It's been like this August, granted. August just passed, but still, it'll be 12 years, which is crazy. God has just been so good, so faithful. And it's so funny because you're like, and what do you do? Because when we met, I was a student working with a priest friend of mine. Then I started to teach. Then I did mission work. And then I just kind of felt, then I did youth ministry.
Yes.
And now people are like, what do you do? And I hate saying like self-employed because it sounds like so like whatever. But I like to say missionary because it's a little bit of everything. So I give talks, retreats. I do a lot of art. Like, we'll talk about it in a second about how God doesn't take your talents and say, oh, how nice. I'm so glad that you used to like to do that and like throw it away. But he'll grab it and just like explode it, you know? So I do a lot of things with art. So it's difficult. People are like, are you on your way to work? I'm like,
I'm always working.
I don't know what that's like. Yeah. So
that's an annoying question, and I'm sorry I asked it, but there's no way that you have to start from somewhere, right? I mean, because really your whole life is a vocation. Really.
Yeah.
Your whole life.
No, absolutely. And it's just so beautiful. Like, I remember when I was discerning a lot of vocations. I love religious life. I was taught by Dominicans almost my entire life. Like, love it. It's beautiful. But I just never felt called to that. And what I loved about consecrated virginity, it was like me and giving all my talents, all my craziness and gifts to God, and God can use it in every way. So I love to give talks and retreats in English and Spanish. I'm able to do that. I've always loved to draw. When I was younger, I wanted to be a Disney animator, but then God channeled it, right? And so now I do.
Gently redirects it as he does.
Redirect. But in a thousand times more beautiful way. So I started a little company called Sacred Print. And so I do a lot of, everything. But saints, I'm obsessed. Like, yes. You have no idea, Simone. I was bad before, but now I'm like a little, it's too much.
I can't say that because I'm also obsessed with the saints. But
yeah, no, you get me.
I get you. Okay, so where do we begin here? Gina, when I met you in 2008 or earlier, no, 2008. Yeah.
No, I think because we were studying our master's, so I think that was six around there. I don't know.
My goodness.
Maybe, I don't know, whatever it was.
Well, I think, okay, whatever, details. But the point is that I had just been introduced as a Catholic to the idea of, like, you can be a celibate that's not a priest or a nun. So I had just met some lay celibates, which is a little bit different than what you are. But that whole idea of, like, what St. Catherine of Siena was, a lay Dominican, I did not really know that that was a thing in the present, at least, but definitely as a thing until 2006, 2005. And then meeting you, there was this whole other category of consecrated virginity. So, you know, you're not like, I would say, a typical anybody, because you're totally unique and unrepeatable. But I think what I love about your vocation story is that it's so uniquely designed for you. So tell us, what does it mean to be a consecrated virgin?
Well, I mean, it's not like you, I can't believe you didn't know about consecrated virginity. Me neither, right? Because all I knew was about religious sisters. But trying to make a long story short, I went to World Youth Day and just really felt God saying, like, you've given time and attention to guys and things, like, what about me? But in my head, that meant like religious sister, and I love them, but I wasn't attracted to them.
Yeah.
So people were like, why not? And it's like, as if you have a best friend that you're great friends, but you're just not attracted. I mean, there's nothing wrong. It's just not the right fit. Right.
Right.
I found out about consecrated virginity actually through Maria Elisa, Father Juan's sister. And I like fell in love because virginity for me was always really important. Just the idea of a complete gift of self. So that was always really important to me. And then just the thought, how ancient this vocation was, like before they were even religious sisters, you know, yes. Like one of the earliest forms of consecration that women were just like, I just want to belong to God. And at first they lived, you know, in their houses dedicated to the works of mercy and just to belong fully to God that way. And at first I was like, but how? Like, that's crazy because, I mean, you know me, it's not, I don't know, like in my head, I guess you had to be like super strictly pious. I mean, we have like these ideas of what it means to belong fully to God that.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the real thing is the saints were not monolithic. The saints are super diverse, big personalities, you know, personality. I mean, every kind of distinct thing. And so, yeah, we get these ideas that somehow sanctity looks totally the same and it's all very quiet. So what, you know, but the reality is that the saints are also different. But I love that what you love about your vocation is that it was like pre-Christian, like before Christianity was like even legal or like cultural. Yeah. You're like, women were giving themselves fully to Jesus in this way before people even knew what Christianity was.
Yeah. And it's incredible because they're the first early virgin martyrs, right? Because at first it was, you know, just like a vow. And so men would want to marry them, like, sorry, I belong fully to God. And so they'd be martyred. But then it became official in the sense that the bishop would consecrate them. So it's not a private vow. Like, it's not just which private vows are amazing, but it's not a private vow of just like chastity or celibacy, right? It is a whole rite.
The whole consecration thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing to read how St. Ambrose like consecrated his sister, you know, and these popes and just all these people and just be like, that is, it's insane, you know? And so to see that God can use my gifts and talents, and I've seen him do that throughout those years. And it's just been so beautiful. Yeah. Really grateful.
Yeah. What's amazing about what you're saying is that, especially for your personality, consecrated virginity gives you the strict form of like celibacy, but then the freedom to pursue like all of your gifts and charisms and what you do that you in another form of celibacy, like a nun or a cloister, you simply couldn't do that. So that's great. Funny you should mention St. Ambrose because I just read his letters on virginity, which his sister encouraged him to write.
Oh, there you
just
go.
Just a little shout out to the feminine genius. We wouldn't have had St. Ambrose's letters on virginity and the value of virginity if it wasn't for his sister being like, hey, brother, you need to write about this. Mm. And I met you along with Maria Elisa, who is also a consecrated virgin, as you mentioned, whose brother is Father Juan, who, I mean, I just love like brother, sister, soul.
Yeah. No, and they're amazing. We've been friends for so long. Like, by the way, like his anniversary is going to be 20 years a priest. Right now in March, which is crazy. And it's just like the gift of celibacy just gives, like keeps on giving. Like I've been able to see how fruitful it's been for him and his ministry, what it's meant for me, and just like where God puts people and how he uses us. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, you're his, in many ways, you're his spiritual daughter. So.
Oh, in every way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, okay. So then I want to link to something. Where can girls who are listening to this or women who learn about like, oh my gosh, there's this thing called consecrated virginity. Like, can they talk to you, Chyna? Can they find a website? Can we put you out there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So two things. So consecratedvirgins.org is a website. And so that really gives a whole lot more information. They've done a great job of also putting like the history, the letters, like, you know, church fathers, what they've said. The Vatican came out with an instruction. So that's, you can have that there. I have a great friend who recently became a consecrated virgin, also from the Diocese of Lansing. Like, Lansing is exploding.
Yeah.
Houseman. With me, as absolutely, and this is not like a plug necessarily, but my website is like sacredprint.com, and like there it's a contact me. So it doesn't have to be about art.
Yeah.
Just contact me, but it's just easier to send people to the website than just like blurt out my personal email, right?
Yeah, I know. I didn't prepare you for this. We didn't prepare for this. So
please. And it's so important to talk to people, just in general, because this vocation, it's beautiful. But it is difficult in the sense that, like, if you're a married person, you get married and all of a sudden, hopefully, right? Like, you haven't lived with anybody. So now you're living with your husband and now a whole new life. Or like, if you enter a religious life, like, you get a new name, you get a habit. But like, with this specific vocation, you know, when you're consecrated, sure, everything changes internally, but externally, nothing changes. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You join an order, meaning orders in a group of people, but it's not a religious order in that sense.
Yes, yes.
And so, like, unless you've already been living as a consecrated virgin, like, unless you've already been living dedicated to God, then things are not going to change in that way. Like, you know what I mean?
You do have to pray the office, though, right? You do have to.
Well, that is true. Yeah, yeah. But I guess, again, with Father Juan, like,
what you're saying is you still have to set your schedule. You still have to get yourself to it. It's not like there's going to be anybody checking up on you.
Nobody, yeah. I mean, you have your spiritual director, hopefully, right? And sure, you'll meet with the bishop once or twice a year, but it really is that. So people are like, how do I discern? I think this is the easiest vocation to discern, because you have to ask yourself, how have I been living? Have I been living it well? Am I giving myself fully to God? Like, how can I give myself more? Because that's what it is. Nobody, I mean, sure, you'll create your rule of life, but hopefully you've been doing that before.
Right. So. But maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Somebody listening who's like, they're going to figure all that out along with the discernment. You know, you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
It can be weird a lot.
Yeah.
I want to also link up to this episode the article that, what was the article about you in a secular magazine? Tell us about that experience.
A short version of it was crazy. Somebody wrote for me for Good Housekeeping magazine, and they wanted to write an article about consecrated virginity, which is like, that makes no sense. Like, Good Housekeeping, it's like, here's a lamp, here's a couch, here's a consecrated virgin. Like, it makes no sense. Like, why are they gonna write? I was like, whatever. I was like, nobody's gonna read it. So they did the article, and the only reason why I know that of what happened was because I have an Etsy shop too. And so I started getting like a lot of Etsy sales, and just like, you could see how people were finding you. And it said like Cosmopolitan. I'm like, Cosmopolitan. I'm like, what is going on?
Cosmo found you.
Cosmo. So what Cosmo did is that they got the article and they published it. That's so crazy. It was originally a Good Housekeeping, but then it went to Cosmo, and it was crazy because even online, like when you read the article, it was like that. And then like on the side was like 50 Shades of Grey. I'm like, what is going on? Right. So it was like crazy because they have like their secular stuff, you know?
Where Catholics are trying to like get into the secular magazine so hard and kind of like propose a Christian worldview in all these arenas and like the peripheries and what's more peripheral to Cosmo. I mean, talk about women that need to know about their unique feminine genius.
That's a creative virginity. And crazy is the Holy Spirit's great, because if Cosmo had told me we're going to write an article about consecrated virginity, I'd be like, heck no, because I wouldn't trust that they would, like, no, I would have said,
I would have been like, Gina, you have to do it. You got to do it. You got to evangelize.
I would have been like, go. And I would be like, no.
You're like, these people won't listen to me. And I would have been like, you've got to try. We've got to reach
out. Yeah. But it was crazy. And you would think that like so many people wrote, it was like crazy. It was even like on Yahoo Sports, which makes no sense. But yeah. I was like, what does that have to do with anything? But what happened was then that, and then all like 100% of the feedback was positive, like 100%. People would be like, I have no idea what this is about, but what a beautiful story. Like, it was just, you know, you would think that these crazy people, it's like 60 tips for craziness.
But doesn't that speak to, it is like just to quote you from 5 minutes ago, the Holy Spirit is great, because you think, I mean, these, you could say this is a reduction and nobody is our enemy, you know, in a true sense, right? Because everybody's child of God. But like, you would think Cosmo is like the enemy, right? Yeah. And yet, like the beauty of your life and the beauty of your vocation, like beauty breaks through all of that, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Mother Teresa doing a pro-life talk at Harvard, right?
Yeah.
They're all like giving her a standing ovation. Why? Because the beauty of her life and her calling. So I have to link that to this podcast episode. But you were, and I'm not just saying this, I think I told you this like that day. I mean, the most beautiful bride I've ever seen.
You're the sweetest. It was, I just felt like, I was just so happy. So it's really funny because I went to my friend Maria Lisa, as we talked about before, her consecration, when she was prostrated, she was like crying. So you could see, like, I mean, out of joy, right? But you could see like her body, like, cause like you're fully prostrate. I was like, I'm gonna lose it. I was so happy. I'm almost like, am I levitating? Because it was like, I was so happy. Like,
you were shaking. That moment when the bishop put the ring on your finger.
Yeah.
We were shaking with joy. I mean, I was
so happy. Yeah.
It was so beautiful. And your veil and your wedding dress, everything was, you felt more bridal to me than probably because so many weddings I go to. Like,
yeah.
It's not about, anyway, I'll be sure. But I mean, you truly looked, felt everything like the most beautiful bride I'd ever seen in my life. It was such an honor.
And
I felt like I was in heaven.
And by the way, anybody who's listening, this is how, what a servant heart this crazy woman has. Like, she was blowing up balloons. We were just talking about that before. She was doing all sorts of crazy stuff before my consecration. So thank you.
Like a little grandma being like, oh, anyway, that was just so awesome. Well, okay. So I want to talk to you a little bit about, gosh, a million things, but I guess on the Catherine of Siena track, because she also had a very unique and rare vocation. Okay. So my encounter with Catherine Siena, as I mentioned, with you, and you're like, this woman is crazy and intense, and I can't handle it right now. And I was like, well, okay. So tell me about your love for her and why, and, you know, just go ahead.
She's crazy. Like, I love her. I love her. I love her personality. I didn't realize until, I guess, around that time that my first communion date, like, is the feast day of Catherine of Siena. And so I was just, like, so happy. Yeah. And then I remember way back when reading about her, and I was like, you're crazy. I mean, at like 4 or 5, I don't know, she has a vision of like Jesus, and like she already makes a vow, and then, I mean, out of control. And then she serves her parents, like her parents, she's just like praying in her room, and her mom's like, you're just being lazy. And so they make her do all sorts of chores and hard work while she's still praying. And she's giving just generously a love of their family. And people are looking at her like, how can you treat them so well when your parents are like hideous? And she's like, I just imagine that they're the Holy Family. But the craziest thing, which I read a book, which is historical fiction, so good. And it's Louis de Wahl on Catherine of Siena. And when I read it, I'm like, this must be part of the fiction because there's no way that this is real.
Right.
Simone, no. This is how intense, which by the way, everybody knows about Catherine of Siena going to like the Pope and being super feisty and like, come back to Rome. Like, you know, but this is even crazier. So what's crazy
story. This is the panning for gold good stuff.
Listen to this. I don't know if you knew this. So
no, I don't. I'm sure. I assure you I do not.
So there's this guy who is a horrible criminal, and they're going to cut off his head the next day, or like 2 days from now. And every time a priest goes in, he's kicking them out. And Catherine of Siena is like, I'm going to go. And they're like, yeah, right. Like, we're going to send a woman, right, like by herself in a cell. And she's like, I'm going to go, and nobody can come with me, right, because she's intense. So she goes in. Nobody knows what happened. She comes out, and he's totally converted, wants to hear a priest. And she had promised, and this legit happens, to hold his head, to be there the next day to hold his head for when they guillotine him.
Are you stop that.
It's real. It's real. And so she's there like holding his head while they like guillotine. And I'm like,
I think I did. Okay. Maybe I didn't hear about it. Maybe I did. It doesn't matter because as you're telling it to me right now, this woman is on a whole other level.
Whole other level. And then I love how the fact that like she got into a coma, we don't know like what happened. Everybody's like mourning because they think she's dead. And after like 2 or 3 days, she wakes up again. And when she sees everybody, she just starts to cry. Right. And everybody's like, oh, what happened? She's like, how am I still alive? Like, you know, like she just wanted to go to heaven. And she's like crying that she didn't die. I just love her. I think she's feisty. She's beautiful. She tells it as it is. She's humble though. Like, you know.
Yeah, because only somebody that's that humble can have that kind of authority.
Yeah, well, ooh, that's a good, yeah. I'm stealing that later. Steal that quote.
Wow, okay, so speaking of that, you're making me think of the fact that you're mentioning this book. You read like crazy. You're a crazy reader.
I love to read, yeah.
Now, I'm sure people like myself who are listening to this right now, as I'm like, well, of course she can read. She's a consecrated virgin, right?
She has all the time in the world.
Yeah. She has all the time in the world, but that's not true. That's not true. You're very busy. How is it that you read so much? Give us some tips. Give me some tips.
Well, I mean, this isn't really fair. I just always like to read. It's my pastime. Like, I would much rather read a book and have a cup of coffee than do almost anything else. So it's just like, it's relaxing.
You sound like my uncle who's like, you can either paint or you can't paint. You just can't, you know?
I don't mean it in a bad way, but I just generally like to read. And then I love to read the lives of the saints. And so I can't go to sleep. Like my last like 20 minutes, I'm reading a book. Not a spiritual book because I'm not like.
No, you read a ton of different stuff. But like, I think what's fascinating to me about you is that you are so extroverted and so like life of the party type. But paradoxically also, you love the alone time, the coffee time, the reading time. I feel like that's like the real secret about you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. I've always said I'm an introvert. People are like, ha, I'm like, no, I am. Because I like to be like, I love that solitary time. But I do like being with people. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But okay. So for the women who are listening to this, and thank you also to our male listeners, why is the intellectual life for women important? Because as you know, Endow creates study guides for women to access, you know, encyclicals. And like, it's not like your everyday person that's like, you know what? I think I'm going to read a papal encyclical. You know what? I think I'm going to study St. Catherine of Siena. That's not typical. It's not typical in the church. So tell me why it's important. What's the value of cultivating the intellectual life?
Well, I think, I mean, if we want to, many things, but if we want to give ourselves to God, that's not just like heart emotions, right? But it is our mind. It is our intellect, right? And so how beautiful that the more we know about God, the more we love him and the more we're able to give, you know? And so for me, when we got our master's in theology, it was just explosion after explosion. And so I was hallucinating after almost like every class because it just made me love God more. And it just kept on breaking the molds in my mind. Yeah. Of what is possible and who God is, because if not, otherwise God can be so small. Like it's to what you understand him to be. And so to read the encyclicals or the amazing study that you guys have on Catherine of Siena, to read about the saints and all these different ways, it's just so enriching. And let me tell you something, Simone, we're filled with a lot of information. Like there's information overload, but there isn't quality. Like there isn't an intellectual life right now. So people think they're being smart because they read snippets of like stuff that's said on Twitter and they have like their blurb that they can like pass out, but that doesn't fulfill you. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes, you're right. And I think that's what I love so much about Endow and Endow Women is that this like shared experience of what you're talking about, where you're like, wow, I love God more because I'm learning this. And like my worldview is being blown up and like reshaped and reformed because this like brand new, beautiful piece of truth coming out of the church's intellectual inheritance is like just making me fall in love with God even more. So.
And honestly, Simone, like the apostolic effectiveness of it, and I'm not talking about being, I mean, St. Thomas Aquinas is brilliant. Like I get it, you know, but, and I'm not saying you have to have all that, but I don't know if the listeners know, but like, you're one of the smartest people I know. Okay. Like this girl is super, stop it. Don't be humble. Say thank you because it's true. But like super smart. And I've seen where your love of God and where your knowledge of God has been like so effective. Like Simone converts anybody she sees with her joy and like with her knowledge, a lived knowledge, you know? And so I think that's so important because people are thirsting, you know? And when you can kind of discern what that thirst is and you know from experience, from what you've read, you know, from what you've been through or what you know saints have been through and you're able to share that, it's life altering. So, and then like you said, like what Endow does, you create communities of people on fire. I mean, then what in the world, you know?
Like women take over the world, you know, and as John Paul II said, like the women are the cultural game changers. Mm. And, thank you for all those kind affirmations I mean, John Paul II was, as you mentioned earlier, like crucial for your vocation. Like you found your vocation, yes, through the people around you, but it was really John Paul II inspiring and interceding for you in your vocation. You know, he's just our biggest advocate with the feminine genius. So do you want to say a few words on John Paul II and why we need to keep looking to him for our pathway forward?
He's my saint crush. Like I've always said, like my Saint crush. People are like Pier Giorgio. I'm like, take him. I'll have John Paul.
Yeah, forget the Italian guy. I'll take the Polish guy.
I'll take the Polish guy 1,000 times over. And the more I learn about him, like 2 years ago, I was able to go to Poland. I'm like, this man, like, no, I like love you so much. He was Pope already when I was born. So he was like the only Pope that I knew. I remember seeing him when I was 14, 15, which honestly, I couldn't really care much about like my faith, but I was like, oh my gosh, Pope John Paul. Yeah. You know, I just loved him. And then I read Theology of the Body. And so that really changed my life because I didn't really know what I truly believed in regards to sexuality.
Yeah.
And when I read that and I read about the gift of, people think a lot about Theology of the Body, obviously about like human sexuality and the beauty of sex, but it's also, right, a beauty about self-gift and virginity. And so when I read that, it changed my life. And so everything, like his thousands of speeches, which everything is like, be not afraid. I mean, you see the movie of the man and it's almost like if this was an actual movie, people are like, whatever, like that would ever happen. Like this guy who's in Poland, like under Hitler, then becomes a Pope. Like it's almost too crazy, you know?
Yes. And yes. Yes. It does have that like Hollywood, like this can't be true story. I mean, I agree with you on John Paul II. I mean, he is just something to continue pondering, his writings, his life, his witness and everything. I think, you know, in terms of the context of the feminine genius and all of that, what he has done for me is really made me feel supported in my personal vocation in that, yes, that maybe it's not going to be like the St. Catherine of Siena kind of influence and power, but that each woman has a personal vocation through her own unique expression, subjective expression of the feminine genius. And John Paul II believed in that so much and advocated for that. So
we were talking about this a little bit before, but I think he's a great one also to keep on going back because I think especially with women now, there's just always this mentality of doing more, doing, you know what I mean? And just like, it's never enough. They're always giving and still feeling like junk because you're not giving enough. And it's like,
yeah. Yeah. Is that one of your pet peeves, Chyna, about when people ask about the feminine genius, oftentimes they're asking about like, what can women do? And that's kind of annoying question. It's understandable, but it's kind of annoying because being a woman is not primary. Being a human is not primary about what you do. So you have a new tagline, all women like stop being crazy, right?
Well, it's true because I'm just thinking like, especially moms, like I say it with my sisters. And if I were to tell you, like if I honestly, Simone, if I were to tell you, guess what? And I don't, like, I wish I did, but I don't. But if I told you like, oh, I wake up 2 times, you know, I wake up at 1 a.m. to pray for 30 minutes. And then I wake up again at 4:30 to pray for 30 minutes. And then I'm continuously feeding the poor and the hungry. And you'd be like, oh my gosh, this woman is a saint. But a mom who wakes up at 1 a.m. to breastfeed her child for 30 minutes, then she wakes up again at 4 a.m. to breastfeed her child. And then, you know, then her kid is crying. And that's what moms do. It's like, no, like when it says I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Like you're doing this 1,000 times in your vocation. I have to be very mindful of like, am I living like a spouse of Christ and a mother to people as legit moms?
As like moms? Like as biological moms. Right. Oh, that is such a good point. You know, I have to say, I didn't think about that exactly in those terms. And that's really, really helpful. We do devalue. I mean, I think Catholic women of the Endow strain are very aware of how there's such a huge attack and devaluing of biological motherhood. And by extension, of course, attacking biological motherhood, spiritual motherhood and consecrated virginity and like every woman being ultimately like called to be a spiritual mother as well. That, forget that. That's not even a discussion, right? But that's not even on the table. You're some kind of demented freak. But yeah, I mean, there is this like, do you think it's an American thing? Do you think it's a, like, I'm not doing enough? Cause I see it with my mom friends too.
Or do you like it's everything. I just think, and especially when you add, I don't mean this to be like mean, but like when you add the faith into it, I think there is this mentality also of obviously we do for God, but we also just have to be with God and just love God. Like these moms, I work mostly with Hispanic moms, are insanely generous, have so many issues with their families. Like try to find a Hispanic homeless person. Like you will not. Like everybody's in the home. Like, you know what I mean? They will grab this person's uncle, niece, nephew. Like,
yeah.
Constantly. And then they're like, oh, I don't love God enough, or I'm not serving enough. It's like, look around. Like, a lot of times you think, and when I give retreats, we talk about them. We go through the works of mercy with moms, and they're always like, I feel so guilty. I'm like, no, no. And then I'll literally show a picture of like a cloistered nun, and then I'll show a picture of like a breastfeeding mom. I'm like, how is this different? And you're just continuously, literally giving of yourselves. The thing is that nobody applauds you. The thing is that you're like, you know, nobody's like, what a holiness. It's just like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. It's heroic.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So what's the remedy to this weird guilt or this, like, I'm not doing enough or, you know.
I had a friend who said that his mom had to take like radiotherapy. That's not what it's called. Radiotherapy. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Like when you have cancer, like radiotherapy.
Radiation.
Yeah. Radiation. That's a word. He said that his mom had to do radiation and that she would also make sure she had like, but in Spanish it sounds better, like cristoterapia, which is like also just going in front of the Blessed Sacrament, not doing anything and just letting him
work. Yeah, spiritual radiation, you know, therapy. Yeah.
I think honestly it's just learning how to just let yourself be loved, like, and that you're worthy of that and just sitting in that, you know? But
and that is what we call mean by receptivity. Letting mm-hmm. yourself be loved right. by God is what receptivity is.
Very
uncomfortable.
And that's the beauty of it, because otherwise, like, people, I think about this myself, like, people don't need China, people need God. And the only way that I can give God is if I let him like fill me, you know?
Yeah. I love, you're a Ratzinger fan. I know.
I do. Yeah.
You know, I love what he says and what it means to be a Christian about faith is always and ever present within true loving, because mm-hmm. it is just that point in love where you realize that you're limited and you can't give everything that you want, that faith kicks in.
Wow.
And that makes up for the surplus. And I think that is the really like the existential discomfort of being a Christian, is that there's a disproportion between what my heart wants to give and wants to do, and the fact that I'm a very like needy, fragile, limited person. And like, actually, like, I have to be in touch with that fragility and that neediness, because then I can say, okay, Jesus, okay, your turn.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been reading Brother Lawrence's Practice of the Presence of God, and it's so good, because it's just like, see God in everything, you know, like he would peel potatoes and it was just like, God was there. I'm like, really? Like, I need to learn that. I think it's always like the extraordinary things. And it's like, no.
It's just the simple, humble things. Yeah. My mom loves to bring a Brother Lawrence to me, because one time she and my sister were laughing at, I was doing the dishes and my face looked so tortured. Like, how could I, like, I wasn't made for this. Like, I was not made to do all these dishes, like, again, every day, again. And my mom's like, remember Brother Lawrence and the potatoes, you know? But I think you're right. We realize that if Jesus educates the humanity, our humanity, the simple humanity, and he is there, the natural, actually today is the death anniversary of Father Louis de Giussani, Cina. And he would always say, like, the natural becomes exceptional in the context of Christ.
Ooh, say that again.
The natural becomes exceptional in the context of Christ. I mean, he gets it.
I love this.
So good. I mean, it's so good. He came to educate the human, right? I mean, he became a man. Very, very, very humble thing. Do you remember Sister Timothy Prokes?
Oh, I love her.
I love her. And I feel like she would go into like mystical visions during class. Look out the window and like see God. And I'd like what is she looking at? Yeah, but why did I bring her up? I think I brought her up. Oh, I love what she'd say in class about God becoming man is like us becoming gophers, except worse. Did she ever say that to you?
Probably. I just remember her brilliance way back then. So we're talking like 2008, maybe 7, I don't know when it was. And she was already seeing, she wrote a book because she loved theology of the body. She actually taught theology of the body. And so she wrote about the meaning of presence and how necessary, like, physical presence was. And she could already see, meaning that in the Eucharist, and she could already see in this crazy environment where everything is like disconnected, like the need of presence, you know? She was just so brilliant. I agree. She just had this manner about her, and she was actually at my consecration. I was so happy that she went.
Oh my gosh. How did I not remember that? But wow.
She's in the back. I could see her because of her little veil.
Her little veil. Yeah. Their habits always like made me think of like a Harry Potter costume, because they were just like,
yeah, I never thought of it, but yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, anything else? I mean, this was fantastic. Thank you for sharing. your life and your vocation and your thoughts with us. And anything else you'd like to kind of encourage or inspire Endow Women, women of the church, faithful daughters of the magisterium and so forth, just in this next phase of like a post-COVID world and all the different, you know, the issues we always had that are now exacerbated. Any word of encouragement or just tip or something you want to say to them before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I was just thinking two things. Like when we give ourselves daily to God and just have like a blank check and just be like, God, whether that's me giving of myself, me receiving of you, because that's important to be receptive, you know, that's a life worth living. So it's not about creating these huge goals, these big plans. I mean, that's nice, but just being in the need of God. And I think like with COVID, I know it was really bad for a lot of people, but it was a reset for a lot of people to say, okay, what's important? You know, friendship and family and just time for God, yeah, and the necessity of the sacraments with everything that was going on, you know? And so just encourage one another, like how wonderful that we live in a time where technology can be used well, that you have this, right? And so you're able to connect and that you're able to grow and that we're able to have this community and just continuously encourage each other. And one of my favorite conversion stories, period, is Ignatius of Loyola. I love how he wasn't like, he had a mystical vision. He just read the lives of like Francis and Dominic and thought, if they could do it, why can't I? Like that was his thing. And so I just love that, like, yeah, what would St. Chyna look like? And not because I want to be a saint, but just like.
But you do. You absolutely do. And shouldn't you?
I do.
You want to be. Shouldn't you want to be?
I do. But what I mean by that is not because
of false glory. Not the like, oh, I can't wait till my face is on a coin or anything like that. But just that you want to be like joyful and happy. And that's what a saint is.
Exactly. And so, and just seeing like, again, I was just saying how God uses our talents and whether for me that's art, you know, and the saints that I do because I'm obsessed with saints. So I need to like get it out. So God uses my saint art and all the different things that I do. Yeah. Yeah. But your talent for a mom who's hearing us could be literally like caring for their kids or just all these different things. And so just being okay with telling God, like, I just need to be in front of you. Love me. And that's good. Like that's the plan for Lent is, you know, or the plan for Easter, the plan for ordinary time, the plan for whatever. The plan for life is just to allow yourself to be filled with God. And that's it.
Funny you should say this because that was my big breakthrough during COVID quarantine last year was, well, you know me, so you'll just love how on brand this was. I was like, wow, COVID, quarantine. This is early on. Like, I wonder, like, how God's gonna like purify me and, you know, shape me into the saint. And you know, this must be this like dark time of like where I'm really gonna like turbocharge in a holiness. I mean, just like all the drama all the time. You know, I'm like, what is that thing I'm supposed to do? I mean, just so much, you know. And I got stopped on the stairs. I really feel like Jesus, like in a gently violent way, was shook my shoulders and was like, maybe I just want time with you. Maybe this isn't about like, I'm going to mold you. I'm going to shape you. Bada bing, bada boom. Like, all your horrible defects and qualities are just going to go away. Maybe I just want the simplicity of time with you. And that moment was a very crucial moment for me because again, as we struggle with falling into like, what am I going to do next, you know? And instead it was just like, maybe I just want time with you. Maybe this isn't about like changing you right now, but of course the time always changes, right? But maybe this is just about me sitting with you.
Because honestly, that's our preparation for heaven. Like in heaven, we're not going to be feeding the poor and giving clothes to the hungry. Like we're not going to be doing, right? We're going to be being with people and being with God and be just being like, just
oh my gosh.
So
yeah,
be prepared for that. Like, you know, and we're like, doing, and we're going to be in
heaven. That's a great point, Chyna. And it reminds me of C.S. Lewis. I don't know where he says this, but he says like, doesn't he say, you know, the Christian life is about getting comfortable with God.
That sounds like Lewis-y.
Right? Like you get to heaven and you want to be comfortable with God. You don't want his presence to be like shocking to you. You don't know what to do with it because you're like busy looking for tasks, right? Like you want to be comfortable with him because you already know what it's like to be around him. You're already already comfortable with him. Mm-hmm. I remember Alfredo. I don't know if you've ever met Alfredo, who he'd come to school community in DC, and he'd be like, he's from Chile. He'd be like, I don't want to go to heaven and like think this is really weird. I don't want to be weird to me. So anyway, you reminded me of all that. Anyway. All right. Well, thank you so much, Chyna. And we're going to link up all your stuff. Sacred Print, right? Sacredprint.com. and all your beautiful artwork and everything. Thank you for being such a beautiful soul.
What a joy to be with you, and to all the wonderful women. Really take advantage of these amazing communities and opportunities and studies, because people's heart and soul are behind this. And their only reason why you're doing this is because they know it's going to enrich them and bring them closer to God. I mean, that's what you're dedicating your life for, you know? And so, so good and so proud of you, my dear Simoncita.
Thank you, Gina.
If this episode was helpful for you, I would love it if you'd share it with your friends. I would also love to hear your comments and feedback, so please email me at simone.riscala@endowgroups.org, or feel free to reach out to us on any of our social media platforms. Remember, you are the heart of Endow.